KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A controversial tax cut on oil companies is set to be put to a vote. Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai certified the referendum on the new tax law this Tuesday. While normally Alaska's lieutenant governor is the authority on ballot propositions, Mead Treadwell delegated that responsibility to Finumiai. Treadwell's office says he made that decision because of his status as a U.S. Senate candidate. According to APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez, the group, Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway, had met all of the legal requirements to get on the ballot. Finumiai verified that more than 45,000 of the signatures turned in came from registered voters. They needed 30,000 signatures to qualify. The group also met a requirement that those signatures came from across the state. They needed for at least 7% of voters in 30 districts to sign their petition, and that threshold was met in all 40. Jim Whitaker is one of the sponsors of the referendum. He's not surprised that the Division of Elections okayed the referendum, but he is happy.
I think all Alaskans should be pleased that we have a chance to make a decision individually about something that is going to affect the future of our state for a long time. And this is our shot. This is our chance to do what we think is right.
The law the referendum seeks to strike down has been a key priority of Governor Sean Parnell. It caps the tax rate on oil at 35% with significant breaks for new oil production. At forecasted oil prices, the law is expected to cut taxes on North Slope producers by at least $3 billion over the next 5 years. Supporters of the new tax policy argue that it will spur investment in the face of declining production, but those behind the repeal effort say the law will lower state revenue without any guarantee of more oil through the pipeline. If the referendum passes, Alaska would go back to a system where the tax rate goes up with the price of oil. Whitaker says that now that the ballot proposition has been approved, the repeal effort is preparing for an expensive political fight over the next year.
We expect the other side that has billions of dollars at risk will spend millions in order to ensure that they get an unwarranted windfall.
As of July, Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway had $23,000 on hand for their campaign. The referendum is slated to appear on the August 19th primary ballot. The Environmental Protection Agency says two companies under Royal Dutch Shell have agreed to pay $1.1 million in fines. The payment is for air permit violations during offshore Arctic drilling last year. According to the EPA, the two affiliate companies in violation of Clean Air Act permits are Gulf of Mexico and Shell Offshore. The drilling took place in the Chukchi Sea by the drill vessel Noble Discoverer and in the Beaufort Sea by the Kulluk. The EPA announced that they documented numerous air permit violations over the course of 2 months. The vessels were drilling top holes and doing other preliminary work necessary for exploratory drilling. Shell spokesperson Curtis Smith said in an email that after a season of operating in the region, the company better understood how emissions control equipment functions in Arctic conditions. And Senator Lisa Murkowski made her first trip to Little Diomede yesterday. Murkowski tried traveling to Little Diomede last October but could not make it due to fog and weather. The trip via Coast Guard helicopter out of Kotzebue was also at Admiral Thomas Ostebo's first trip to the westernmost community in the United States.
And, of course, as we see the increased flow of maritime traffic in the Bering Strait, it's important for him for a lot of reasons and certainly important for me for many reasons. So it was a very full day. Saw for myself some of the very immediate needs in the community, and I've left with some very, very strong impressions.
One of those impressions is that she learned the community, the population is shrinking. Before traveling to the most remote community in the United States, she was told there were about 121 people who live on the island.
When we got there and we're talking to folks about how many kids are in the school, how many people are actually living there, the estimate from folks there was about half of that.
The number is closer to 60 or 70 people. She says families are simply leaving.
And leaving for probably a host of different reasons. clearly very expensive to live there, recognizing how difficult accessibility is, whether you're trying to get out to go to a medical appointment, which is complicated so dramatically by the fact that you have access in and out only by helicopter, and that the weather grounds so much of that movement.
Murkowski says she was not prepared for the image and reality of the cliffs on the island. She says she was surprised there was no flat ground anywhere. Murkowski continues her travels in the state during recess. She was in Barrow a few weeks ago. She visited Wainwright, spent some time in southeast Alaska. Today, she's at the Tulik Research Station in the northern section of the Brooks Range, where Arctic research takes place. This weekend, she will head back to Washington, D.C., where they'll have the beginning of the debate on the U.S. role in Syria. And it's September, which means the caribou will soon be heading this way. The Western Arctic caribou herd that migrates from the North Slope to the Seward Peninsula usually begins migrating south in September and arrives in the Seward Peninsula between October and November. With the appearance of caribou comes the possibility of mistaking caribou for reindeer. While caribou are wild, reindeer are domesticated and therefore private property. Tony Gorn, a wildlife biologist with the Department of Fish and Game, shares ways to distinguish between the animals. Reindeer usually wear ear tags and sometimes have white spots, while both features are rare among caribou. But Gorn says the best way to distinguish the animals is through their grouping behavior.
If you see a group of animals that look like caribou, but they're tightly bunched up, they're not widely scattered or appear wild, you know, spread out and running, you're probably looking at reindeer.
With reindeer being private property, hunting reindeer without an owner's consent is theft. To inhibit hunters from mistaking reindeer for caribou, Alaska State Trooper Jay Sears recommends practices for reindeer herders.
Making sure that all their reindeer are properly tagged. And then also, if there's any kind of private property, that needs to be, professionally marked so that, you know, these hunters are aware that it's private property and can also identify that the reindeer are, in fact, reindeer.
If a herder suspects illegal hunting of their animals, Megan Peters, a Department of Public Safety Information Officer, advises calling local law enforcement or state troopers. But State Trooper Sears assures the Seward Peninsula that illegal reindeer hunting is not a widespread problem in the area. As far as when the Seward Peninsula can expect to see caribou, wildlife biologist Tony Gorn says their arrival is a moving target.
It's a lot like asking when is that first salmon going to show up in the river. I mean, you have an approximate time period, but you really can't nail it down.
The Western Arctic caribou herd is currently located in the North Slope and is expected to soon begin its southern migration. It's the largest caribou herd in the state. The price of gold in New York up $20.60 an ounce to $1,388.30. An ounce of silver up 62 cents to $23.93. It's unofficially 47 degrees at the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.